Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
Woman at the well, and I don't even have to tell you that that was Mary J. Blige just fine, and setting the tone to Secrets to a Beautiful You. The author of that book is Denise Higgins. She's an advocate and an author, and our guest on Confessions of Me Too Moments, hosted by myself, Beverly Black. I am the woman at the well, live on Tribe Family Channel, a gumbo for the Soul International Family brand. I want to shout out to our sponsors, Genius is Common, www.geniusiscommon.com, and also Urban Book Editor and Gumbo for the Soul Publications. Everyone has a story to tell. Who will you trust to tell yours? Now, it would be remiss of me if I did not mention the powerful movement Me Too has set afire across this nation. And we salute Mrs. Burks, the founder of Me Too Moments, and we dedicate Confessions of Me Too Moments to Recy Taylor, who recently passed at the age of 97. Recy Taylor was kidnapped in the Jim Crow era by 6 white men. She was raped, bound, and left and told with a threat that if she said anything, that they would come back and kill her. Well, she said something, and that is what is happening across this nation. Women and men alike are stepping up, and they are speaking out, and they are saying something. Now, a lot of people may have dealt with different types of issues when it comes to Me Too moments. Well, some will come to this show and testify about having gone through such, and some will come to this show to empower and encourage those that have. This is that. This is Denise Higgins. She is an advocate and an author. Her book, Secrets to a Beautiful You, is educating, empowering, and encouraging men and women globally to prepare their bodies prior to having cosmetic surgery due to the high weekly death rate. She has helped over 8,000 individuals think twice before getting on someone's surgical table. And the reason this is so important is because we are in an era of people finding their voices, finding their true selves, walking past that mirror, like Mary J. said, and feeling just fine. And we need to encourage and continue to strengthen these voices. However, the advocacy piece, it is very important. And so this speaks to our millennials, because this is an era in which we are finding more and more elective surgery. However, don't box yourself into elective surgery, because more and more people are finding themselves through their moment of empowerment, and they are losing the weight, and they are taking measures to walk past that mirror and look at themselves like Mary J. Blige and say, I am just fine. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Confessions of Me Too Moments on The Woman at the Well, Denise Higgins. Hello, my sister queen. How are you?
Hi, Beverly. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I am honored. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule, your speaking, your writing, your advocacy, your community work, to spend a Sunday in this current landscape. As volatile as things are, I know that you and your voice and your message would otherwise be somewhere speaking to these men and women that you have been speaking with. So it is my honor to have you on this show. And I want to let our listening audience know, I see your calls are lit up on our studio, and we thank you for listening in. And another call just popped in. So the phone lines are lit up, and we're not going to further delay. So again, Denise, it is a pleasure and an honor to have you here. Now, when I started The Woman at the Well, it was testimonial. My first guest was Tuskegee Red Tails Airman Colonel Richard Tolliver, and he set the tone about addressing abuse. And so you have set a tone of your own, which is very, very important, so that people, like you say in your description, so people will think twice before getting on someone's surgical table. So take us to the beginning, because we've had some wonderful conversations, and I admire your strength. I admire your courage. You know, we're both daddy's girls, always validated, never violated. And so we have the charge and the responsibility to encourage those that have these stories of compromise and their Me Too moments, but we're not just going to ask them to come out with their stories. We're wanting to also have solutions, have encouraging words, have testimonials to what brought us to the point of our strength. And so I'm going to ask you to share with our audience, and forgive my voice, I talk on the phone all day. So I'm going to ask you to share with our audience some of the different pieces of advice that your father may have imparted in your life. I'm a daddy's girl as well, heavily validated, never violated. So we are charged again to be the encouragers and the uplifters. So I applaud you for what you're doing. Now, in your book, we discussed something that you would open up with. So would you embellish our audience with that before we continue?
Yes. What made me decide to write the book was, now that plastic surgery and cosmetic surgery is affordable for all walks of life, there's no instructional how-to guide created in order to save a person's life from preventing fatalities, as it is occurring all too often, you know, in our third world countries, let alone in the United States as well. A lot of these enhancements are usually same-day procedures. We immediately return home, and the ladies have this feeling of, well, what in the heck am I to do now? So that birthed my book, July 10, 2015, after 3 years of surgery. A little bit of background about me, as I came from a very strong entrepreneurial family. My mother and father were two loving individuals that I saw nothing but love in the home, and they wanted to make sure that not only was I well-grounded, but you can always give back to your community. It's not what you ask of your community, but what you can do for your community in giving back. And so that's what I did. I had to become an advocate for women who were not educated on the simple steps that, well, they're not simple, but it's a few procedures, things you need to do before you have your enhancement in order to have a successful journey. And so when a friend of mine went to have the procedure, she was not educated, you know, on what she should do prior to having her enhancement. And she fell into a little trouble. So as you start, you know, to read the book in the first chapter, I'll take you through it line by line. And it's just like sitting on the edge of the seat. But I explain everything. I don't leave anything out. And that's what led me up to writing the book. So it was a successful journey for me once I learned what all it entailed. And from there, it's like it just blew up. And I have been educating both women and men globally, because women, they don't know, but men are getting, they get more tummy tucks than women. So they're thinking that, you know, they hold the crown for it, but no, we're trying to catch up with men. So my book is doing very well, and the book has a chapter in it that I want to focus on right now. It's Loving the Skin I'm In. Because most, and I don't want to talk on too much, I know you got questions, but I'm so passionate about my book and the educating and empowering and encouraging women to train their body or condition their body before they have the procedure. It's very in debt. And actually I'm working on a second book of sustaining and maintaining. But let me refer you to this one chapter. It says, "Loving the skin I'm in." When God created this unique and one-of-a-kind masterpiece, he couldn't create a second or third edition. There are simply none like me, and it gets no finer. Who is she? A phenomenal woman. That's me. I am and have always been a strong and confident woman in everything that I do. If I don't love myself first, then who else will grow to love me? I am a strong woman who feels deeply and loves fiercely. I am both soft and powerful. I am both practical and spiritual. I am a strong woman, which my essence is a gift to the world. Most of all, I'm a godly woman who sees no need to compete with other women. So there is no need for that thing we call booty greed. So in that chapter, that answers to one main question that everyone tends to ask or be judgmental against the young lady that I represent or the working woman that I represent, and that is the woman that has tried every kind of diet that has resulted in every kind of exercise, but she can't lose that last 10 to 15 pounds. And she needs just a little bit of help in doing so. It's not that woman that wants to have this ideal body just because Susie Q has it. No, she's already confident within herself. She's maintained and taking care of her family, her husband, her career, her position in church or the ministry she holds, but guess what? She lacks of taking care of herself. So this is a part of doing something for herself. So this is why I wrote that particular chapter, because we didn't do it to look like someone else. We already love ourselves from within.
Amazing, amazing. Well, what I particularly appreciated was that in this day and age of millennials, that you are speaking to the elective side of surgery that people need to be aware and prepare for, because not all people have the surgery because there is a need for losing weight or that there is a immediate medical need, but again, it can be elective and we'll just say elective enhancements. So tell our listeners, and there's a lot of them, what brought you to that point of having surgery? What was the basis behind your decision for having surgery? And then I'll ask you some other questions. So you just stay on that question, and then I'll ask you some of the other questions that you may wind up elaborating and covering anyway, but I just want to keep the pace.
Sure, no problem. So in order for me to write a book, you can't encourage or empower or educate someone if you don't know about it. But I was injured on my job, and I had a severe back injury that has altered my life, and I had to have surgery. Well, because of my age, I was too young to go straight through directly through the spine. So they went through my abdomen, and they did not put me back the way I was, because I did not I was not obese. I was not, I didn't have like anything hanging over. I was well designed and put together, like I said, in loving the skin that I'm in. It was just that 10 or 15 pounds I wanted, you know, to get rid of. But in the fact that they did the surgery and their excuse was, well, we didn't have a plastic surgery on hand. We were not told to. And so I wanted to make sure that my body looked like it did before I went to surgery. So then I started educating myself because my girlfriend that fell into this crisis, I didn't
want. Wait before you go there. Let me just take the piece that you have given me before we talk about your girlfriend. Okay, so you decided that you would go back and have cosmetic surgery after a medical surgery that you felt wasn't, like you said, they didn't have a cosmetic surgeon on hand. So basically whatever scarring they left wasn't conducive with what they would consider for a woman, like they would try to leave scar lines below the bikini area and stuff like that. And so they just didn't attend to you in that manner. And so that was your decision for electing to have enhancing surgery to first go back and do the corrections to what wasn't medically done the first time?
Well, it wasn't, when they sewed me back up, it wasn't acceptable to me. So I decided to go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear. So it wasn't acceptable to you because, like you said, they didn't put you back together the way you were and what was acceptable to you. And the excuse that they had was not having a plastic surgeon on hand. And, you know, I commend your strength for going forward and saying, even though there would be additional surgery, but you made the decision to go forward and to do that. And so blessed be to God that you are here and able to share your voice after such an accident requiring spinal surgery. I have had someone in my family go through a car accident and had to have spinal surgery, in which they had to go through the abdomen also and the back and put both in. But she has since given birth to two beautiful daughters. So we know that our God is a loving God. Now, you were going to say something about the journey that your friend was on?
Well, because she had a bad experience, and remember, I was just asked to accommodate her, and I didn't know anything about cosmetic surgery. So I had to learn all that I can so that I, you know, can make sure that I won't go down that same path. And so after careful research, which I did, then, you know, I had the procedure. In my book, I map out my entire steps from A to Z for ladies to read in my book that will help them do the same thing, because women are just going to have the procedure and they may have skipped one step that could cause, you know, a crisis that could cost them their life. So my book is very thorough. And I encourage ladies to get the book. I leave nothing out, and it's presented in a very tactful way. But I don't want to leave anything out, and I didn't leave anything out because, you know, it's just that one thing that could alter someone's life, or it could help them and decide if this is for them. And one thing that I really stress on in the book is know your family history and your medical background first.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that is very important for us to not only research our medical background for those that may have been, because we're living in an era and a time where many millennials have been raised by grandparents, and they didn't have the privilege and honor of having Big Mama there to tell her stories that she handed down to Mama Nim to tell us, and we were at their feet listening. And so it is very important that we educate our sisters and daughters and aunts and cousins and brothers and uncles and all of them, all of our people, that our health and wellness, first and foremost, is very important. And you mentioned that you have helped over 8,000 individuals think twice before getting on someone's surgical table. What are some of the nutritional pieces of advice that you offer? Because we did discuss that, you know, a person has to really be a certain weight and health before they can even have surgery. So do you want to speak to that?
Well, I go into educating them on knowing what their BMI is, knowing the different vitamin regimen to take, not rushing into having the procedure and training your body as far as exercising. A lot of women think that the surgery is the only thing that they need to do, but it's just not true. After you have the procedure, you're going to have to exercise even more so than what you did in the beginning. So the book is very, very detailed, and I encourage everyone to go to my website and get the book, order it from my website, which is www.secretstoabeautifulyou.com, and I will sign it and send it to you within 3 to 5 days.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so what is the ideal weight? One of my questions is, because oftentimes people do not know, you know, where their weight is, and oftentimes, you know, we have heard stories where people, you know, plan to get surgery for one reason or another, even for medical reasons, and they've had to delay it because of unhealthy weight statuses. So what is the suggested weight that a healthy person would want to be at before they had any type of surgery? Because we know that this applies to life in general.
Right. So because I am no physician, I need to say this, you have to go to your primary care physician and they will instruct you on what your ideal weight is, because every body differs. So the ideal weight, which is different for African American, the scale is different, but doctors will tell you that it should be 200 pounds, but that doesn't speak for the height at the same time. So everybody differs. So you have to get that from your doctor, but you have to be within a certain percentage, and the doctor will inform the individual, the patient on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. And so you've helped over 8,000 individuals. Tell us about some of the ways in which people come to you for help. You mentioned you were there to assist your girlfriend. Do people come to you and book you for non-surgical advice when it comes, because you're not a doctor, but you do have a nice book out, you have your physique, you got it going on. Okay, so you're a beacon of light and hope. Okay, your book, Secrets to a Beautiful You, is encouraging and empowering. So in what ways from a non-surgical standpoint, because not everyone is going to elect to have surgery, but they also can find secrets to beautify themselves. And what would you particularly have helped some individuals with in that regard?
Well, I am a surgery consultant, and one good thing about my book is that you may elect not to have the surgery, but you can still follow the nutritional guide that I put in there, the exercise guide that I have in there. So the book is well-rounded. So what I would do is consult an individual if she takes my services or advice and would like for me to guide her for, you know, during her weight loss journey, and let her know, you know, some of the things that are very helpful. She possibly could be doing, half of the things that are needed, but I just add that little, you know, piece of advice that's an enhancement. Like, she could not eat after 7, and if she does, make it a salad or, you know, include more water in her diet. But most people do not like to exercise, and I found to be most rewarding is that they really need coaching on just getting up, get off of the couch, walk. Just take a walk, even if it's just 30 minutes. Or if you don't want to go to a gym, just incorporate doing some leg lifts or doing some squats or, you know, something for 30 minutes. A lot of people just need someone to encourage them along the way. How I first started off in talking to so many women, I was on a medical website, which a lot of my targeted audience goes to every day, every minute of the day, and that is a medical website called Real Self. And I was on there, and one particular lady found me, and she says, you know, every day someone comes on here, they go straight to you, to your blog, and they love talking to you because you just break it down and you give it to them, you know, plain, just black and white. So why don't you go ahead and, you know, do this on your own and write your own blog or write your book. And so that's where the idea of, you know, me writing a book came about, and it was birthed. So after that, I've just been going full force.
Wow. Well, when you use terms like the procedure, and, of course, you have a Facebook page, and I want you to give our listeners that as well. But I was on your Facebook page one day, and, you know, I saw someone, and they were, you know, they had showed their picture, and they were showing the post-surgery enhancements and what have you. And some of the comments talked about being careful with your lung health and different things that, you know, the average person that's not researching this subject would not think of. And so there were a lot of different acronyms and abbreviations that were being used on the website. So when you say the procedure, can you break down the different procedures in which you can personally speak to and help coach people through and give us the term and not the acronym, but tell us about the different procedures that, you know, you help and assist with?
So my book, it talks about mainly full body liposuction. It talks about a Brazilian butt lift. It talks about a tummy tuck and fat augmentation transfer. And the acronyms that you're talking about is in the glossary. The book also has a glossary to help you get through the book, because I will use the terms in order to help the reader understand what will be talked about when she gets out there in the real world, and also when she goes to interview the doctor. The book also has a chapter on how do you properly interview a doctor when you're going to look for a plastic surgeon. You just don't go and choose one just because your girlfriend went to that one, or just because you think he puts out the best projection. You choose that doctor according to the needs and desires that your temple needs, not what someone else has received from that doctor, because you may not get the same results.
You know, and you're so right about your temple. It goes back to what you said about knowing your family history, and you also need to know your body. My mother always stressed health and wellness in our family at a very early age. And so throughout my life, I became a health and wellness advocate. And the one thing about going to the doctor is they will always ask you your family's history. They will always ask you for the differences in the changes in your body. And it's so very important, and I love the message that you are conveying. It's so very important for us to know our family history, to know our own bodies. That is one of the messages that I want to emphasize, is because one, I'm the publisher of Gumbo for the Soul Publications, and aside from the first two books, speed forward to my third and fourth book, the third one speaks to breast cancer. And so when women go for their breast exams, we need to perform monthly self-exams on ourselves, so that if there are any changes, we will be the first ones to be able to notice that there's a difference between my breast at this stage in age and my breast at this next month, and, you know, further down the line in years, this stage and age. You can reference historically back to when you first started giving yourself the monthly breast exam, so that when you're at the doctor and you're answering those questions, you know your family history, but you know your own body's history as well. So also, I would like to just clarify, but here on this show, you say, when you say the procedure, you're just meaning in general, surgery in general, when you say the procedure. You're not speaking to any specific procedure that someone would say, girl, I had the procedure. You did, me too. You're just speaking in general to surgery.
No, I'm not. Okay,
so what do you mean when you say the procedure? Because that's my original question.
Because now that it's affordable for all walks of life, men are referring to us as, she's fake or that's plastic. They don't refer to the surgery as having surgery or plastic surgery anymore. They refer to it as an enhancement. So, or having enhancement procedure. It's not ethical to come out and just say, oh, did you have plastic surgery? So we are mindful of how we address
that. Is it not ethical, or is it just rude to just come out and ask somebody, girl, did you get, you know, this or that? Is it just rude, like some other things would be, when you have to have a certain decorum when you speak to people, a certain je ne sais quoi, a certain ethic about yourself, a certain decency, if you will. So it's just not decent and in order to just come out and say, to ask someone flat out like that.
Well, it's to the person's preference. Me, myself, I would consider it being as rude. I would not approach someone like that.
Right.
You know, women are worst critics, and we are catty, and I don't want to go into that because that's a topic I'm going to present on a show that I'm going to have of mine on a live feed, but we're going to address that at another time. But women can be very mean towards one another, and so yeah, it's we're taught to. That's why I made the glossary, is so that we can.
Well,
speak
so basically,
to
what we're saying though is that, do you find that it's just rude as opposed to being unethical? Because when you talk about ethics, okay, it could open up a whole can of worms. So it's just pretty much rude to walk up to someone and, you know, speak in those terms, basically.
Well, the kind word for rude is unethical. So, it is. It's rude, if you want to put it that way. Yes, it is very.
All
yes.
Right. Well, you know, because like you said, women can be, you know, catty. But, you know, when we talk about ethics now, we could go into the medical field to talk about ethics, because, and thank goodness, there's gatekeepers like yourself to get people to think twice, okay, because they would run into medical ethics, because if you have the money to pay for it, they may not give you the best advice
and have you get on that table ill-advised. So it's good that you are a gatekeeper and you have encouraged many to think twice. Like you said, the woman commends you and has, you know, complimented that people go to your blog. They want to see what you have to say and the information that you're conveying and whatnot about something that you're not just talking the talk. You've walked the journey and you're able to advise. And one, you've done the research. So there's nothing like self-educating and doing the research. So now you have the background to support the book that you've written, Secrets to a Beautiful You. Now, what is your Facebook page? Because I don't have it in front of me. I'm not even logged in. But, you know, I found that intriguing as well. You know, here we have a sister that has had enhancements that is teaching on health and wellness and walking her talk and, you know, consulting with individuals, over 8,000 people, to help them in their walk and their journey. So what is that Facebook page, and how can our listeners reach you? And then I'm going to ask you a couple of other questions.
Okay, so I've made it very simple for you to contact me on Facebook. The Facebook page is the same as the book. It's Secrets to a Beautiful You. And once you go on there, it pops right up, or you even put in my name, Denise Higgins, it'll pop right up. I also do have a private group for the ladies to talk amongst one another or to talk with the doctors directly. So the only way that a young man could get in the group is that he has had the surgery and has contacted me to let me know that he has had the surgery and who's this doctor. But it is a private group for ladies just to be themselves and to talk amongst one another, and it's a surgery group only. Yeah, so that's Facebook. On Instagram, it is under Denise Higgins, our sexy angel. And on Twitter, it's Denise Higgins. So I made it very easy to contact me. It's the same name as the book. And if you want my services for consultation, you can contact me at 510-925-0218 or go to my website, which is www.secretstoabeautifulyou.com, and you go to the contact page and put in your information. You can also order a book there, and I would send it to you.
Awesome, awesome. Now, like I said earlier in the show, Confessions of Me Too Moments here on The Woman at the Well, hosted by myself, Beverly Black, is definitely about women and men finding their voice, using their strength, encouraging each other to confess what their Me Too moment is, this journey with us. Our first show of this fourth season, we had Cecilia Carey on. She was abused by her parents. She has a book out entitled Dee Dee's Bridge, and finding her voice and her strength through Me Too, the Me Too movement, bridged her to coming on this show, Confessions of Me Too Moments. So we're also, as you can see with today's show, going to bring individuals that will be able to assist with that inner glow, that outer glow, that woman or that man that has found the courage to craft out that look that they want for themselves. They have forged forward and they have come through the other side of that moment. And so we want to continue to encourage and love on individuals that are experiencing a Me Too moment that will want to come here and give their own confession. Excuse me. And so basically, because I'm going to pose some other questions, I just basically had to pause to cough because I talk all day. But I basically want to preface that we invite everyone to come to the Woman at the Well. You can email me at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com, tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. I am the Woman at the Well and the creator of Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. Now, what I love about some of the women like yourself, Denise, that will be coming here, women and men, is that we have professionals and gatekeepers such as yourselves that will have books that give encouragement, that give strength, that are at a different level in a person's walk. So someone that has already had procedures that may not have anyone that they can talk to that are going through the same thing that they're going through, we know that they can talk to you. They can find you and go to any one of the different social media outlets or contact your contact you via your phone number that you gave out. But one of the other reasons why I found it a joy to be able to offer you this interview was because we're both daddy's girls. And so we have the strength about ourselves that is that protection. We have never been in a home environment where abuse is abundant or where we would be seeking out that confirmation that a woman may seek out in, you know, searching, having not had it at home and maybe searching in, you know, in the world for something that they didn't get at home. Men and women, men join gangs when they don't get the validation at home. Women tend to seek the validation in relationships or even their girlfriends. You know, when we ask our friends, does this look nice? You know, we're looking for validation. And so I welcome voices like yours that will be pivotal in strengthening women and men as they come to the well that are needing validation, that are needing encouragement, that are needing strength on whatever side of the spectrum they're on. And by your not having a Me Too moment, because you have always walked in your strength and in the encouragement from your father as a daddy's girl and being in the type of home where this type of love encircled you, what would you say is one of the best messages that your father imparted in you to give you that type of strength that you walk in? Let's talk about that daddy's girl that's walking in that strength.
Well, I've always been given the encouragement by both of my parents, not only my father, but my mother, and that was to own my essence, know who you are and who you belong to, and know your worth. I'm a woman who walks in her purpose, and I do not have to chase people nor opportunities, because my light that shines and my angelical smile that brightens when I walk through a room, it causes people to and opportunities to pursue me. So as I tell ladies, I leave you with these encouraging words, is to respect yourself and the world will respect you. Do unto others as you wish them to do unto you. Respect your elders, because if it wasn't for our elders and our forefathers who came before us and paved the way, then we wouldn't have made it this far. And if your situation, you think that your situation is a mess, it's only a part of the progress.
Amazing, amazing. Well, I definitely want to thank you so very much for taking this time to be here with me. We are going to conclude this show with a message from a dear sister of mine. If not for her, I wouldn't be on the radio. And this is called A Wedding Like No Other, Yours. And this is by Rachel Berry, a.k.a. author Lady Serenity, who has gone on to glory and is no longer with me, but I want to thank her because I have been on the air since 2011, and I own it, and I love it, and it has afforded me the opportunity to speak to people like Denise Higgins, to have had a show like The Woman at the Well now in our fourth season. We began this show, I interviewed Colonel Tuskegee Airman, Tuskegee Red Tails Airman Colonel Richard Tolliver on my first show, and he insisted that, he absolutely insisted that this show talked about abuse, the abuses, that it would be an outlet for women against abuse. So this is definitely a platform that we welcome women to use your voice. Confessions of Me Too Moments, hosted by Beverly Black on The Woman at the Well, will be back on the air February 4th, and my guest will be Diane Sears. She is the CEO and assistant to In Search of Fatherhood. She is a survivor, and she will be giving us her Me Too moment confession. I also want to have you follow our studio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. We have over 20 shows, and there are so many episodes in queue. So, again, we are thankful and grateful to have had this time with you, Denise. Thank you for being our guest on Confessions of Me Too Moments. It's my pleasure and honor. And we would invite our listeners to please stay tuned to A Wedding Like No Other. Yours. Good night.
Blog Talk Radio.
Whether you are young or seasoned, this is a special day for you. Whether you are married, divorced, or single, this is a special day for you. For today you make a commitment that will last till the end of your journey. Today you take vows to complete a wedding like no other. Now I already have the mood set. There's candles lit in the background and a quiet setting. This ceremony consists of 5 parts. I want you to get comfortable and lend me your heart and soul. The first part of the ceremony is called the Epiphany. This includes a written piece called Who Am I? Listen up. Look at me. Do you recognize? Because of your mother and father, we were introduced. I have been with you since your first breath and your first bottle of juice. I know when you took your first steps, said your first words. I know when you cried for your mother or realized you didn't have one to be heard. I helped you learn to ride your bike and was there when you had your first talk with daddy or felt your pain at his non-existence and how it affected you so sadly. On the first day of school, you held to me dearly. I remember your good grades or the chastisements that came from the bad ones and witnessed your foundation being made. During school games, proms, and graduations, you prayed for me or cursed me at letting you down. I know when you went into Sunday school, church services, or when you hid so you couldn't be found. Your first dates or the lack of them, I was blamed for. I know about your good deeds, so much more. I was around when you met your significant other or when the breakups came. Soon I witnessed your marriage or two or the divorce when things changed. I saw the birth of the babies or heard the sad news that none would be coming. I watched you raise young ones to adults. Sometimes it wasn't wonderful, others simply stunning. I've seen you struggle and succeed with money, the bought and sold homes, or you succumb to homelessness with no food for your tummy. You've blamed me for prejudices against you, but attributed my existence to other challenges, both good and bad. I know of birthdays and funerals and all the ups and downs that you've had. Often you take me for granted, or your views about me sometimes get slanted. I've taught you that you're more like your forefathers than you'd like to admit. To learn how to treat me is the best you can get. I've caused you some physical changes, so sometimes you're dismayed, but often thankful for my existence. I know of your ills and bills and often of your resistance. And sometimes during soul-binding challenges, you've wished I'd just go away. Until you realize just how fragile I am and how much you do want me to stay. Without me, you have nothing. I am the best gift you've ever got and a gift that can't be topped. Today, I helped wake you up and set you down so we could have this conversation on keeping me long-term around. I need you to still embrace me like in younger years. By now, age has taken away some of your fears. I'm always going to be full of surprises. I know that you finally realized this. See, I know you better than anyone, daughter, friend, girlfriend, or son, better than your lover, husband, or wife. I've always been here. Who am I, you ask? I am life. This brings us to the second part, which is called the affirmation. Grant me a sense of humor, Lord. Give me the grace to see a joke, to get some humor out of life, and pass it on to other folk. The third part is when you take your vows. Please raise your life hand, which is your right hand, and repeat after me. Dearest life, I pledge my love and commitment to you. I promise to honor you as a unique gift, surpassing all others. I pledge to put you first in sickness and in health. and times of want and times of plenty, for better or worse. My Creator has given you to me, and so I am blessed with your presence. Today is the beginning of newness for you and I. Right here, I renew my vows to you, pledging my eternal love for you, and eagerly await what time may bring us. I believe in this marriage more than ever because of my many ups and downs. But here I am, still standing, and so I reaffirm my love and commitment to you. This is for the long term, dearest life. How I love you. You can rest your hand now, and please enjoy your wedding song. Thank you. here and now, friend, is the fourth part of your ceremony. This part is called the ritual. And this is what you'll do when this broadcast is over. I want you to get a glass from your kitchen, pretty or plain. But I want you to make this glass from this day on the glass that you will drink your daily water from. Yes, sacred water. Because water gives oxygen to our bodies and our blood. It is part of the preservation of our soul. Water is life, and without it we cannot live. So I want you to take a drink, be it in the morning, noon, or before going to bed, or all three if you like. But each drink renews the vows that you are taking today. So the next time you have a glass of water, you'll see it differently. This brings us to the fifth part of your ceremony called the meditation. I'm going to tell you that I want you to ponder over these next five questions. And then after the broadcast, I want you to jot down your thoughts to these questions in a journal and to overlook them as many times as you can to keep them fresh in your mind. The first question, and I'll repeat each one twice. In your preteen years, what did you dream about in regards to your future with life? In your preteen years, what did you dream about in regards to your future with life? Question two, during your teen years, what was your claimed philosophy regarding life? During your teen years, what was your claimed philosophy regarding life? Question three, recall one of the best days that your bride or groom has given you. And when I say bride and groom in this sense, we're talking about life. Recall one of the best days that your bride or groom has given you. Fourth question. Name one thing life has taught you. Name one thing life has taught you. And the fifth and final question, what new things do you plan to implement in your life now that you're both newly married? What new things do you plan to implement in your life now that you're both newly married? Here are also a few gems that I want you to keep mindful of, because they're important. Always remember to develop a sense of humor. A sense of humor to laugh at oneself is very, very important. Let me give you your first sense of humor. By the time you make ends meet, they move the ends. That's funny when you think about it. The second gem, get an attitude. For example, whatever. The attitude of whatever, it will all work out somehow. Because if you think back to the other challenges that you've come across, have they not always somehow worked out? Also, keep the stress bunnies out of your life. Try to keep stress out of your marriage as much as possible to life. As they say, friends may come and go, but enemies accumulate if you allow them. So get rid of the stress no matter who or what they might be. Also, like I said earlier, laugh out loud at yourself and life, and then embrace both. But most of all, please remember to have fun and continue to make memories, because that's what life is all about. And so in conclusion, friends, I just want to say to you, beloved, I'm glad you allowed me to take this opportunity with you to honor you and your unique journey. And no one needs to tell you that life hasn't always been easy. I know that. But you have still, and you do, always stand the test of time. You're still standing. Your commitment to loving, living, and life will continue to shadow you for all to see. And to that, I applaud you and encourage you to continue to seize life and all it pleasantly has to offer. Don't concentrate on the negative. Embrace the pleasantness that life has to offer. Renew your vows often and stay committed to your new partner, which is life. Come here and take these vows again as often as you like. Invite your friends to do the same. I thank you for joining in this celebration of life, a wedding like no other. And now, by the power adopted by me, I pronounce you married to life. Enjoy.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...